Praise the Lord. How many of you are thankful that you can, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, enter into the presence of an almighty God by faith? Amen? By faith. I look forward to the day where that faith is made sight. We get to bow before His throne for forever and ever and ever, night and day, and never stop praising Him for who He is and what He's done for us. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to talk about something that's a little controversial today. And the reason that it's controversial is because many people don't understand it. Many people misuse some terminology that we're going to talk about today. Lots of times they do this in the wonderful world of social media that we live in. Let me say this. If you air your dirty laundry out on social media, expect to get judged, right? Somebody will air their dirty laundry out and say, "They're judging me." You aired your dirty laundry out. They don't have to make a judgment. They're just commenting on your stupidity to put your dirty laundry out in the air. If you are a born-again believer here today, your dirty laundry has been made clean. Let it be. Amen? Let it be. Stop bringing it up. No one cares. They've gone on to the next thing that happened in social media. Let them forget about it. God has. You might as well enjoy it. Just let it go. But what happens in today's society is we have a fear of this term, judge. Or to be judged, or to use judgment. And Jesus is going to teach us some things. We're going to look at a message entitled, Learning How to Judge Biblically. Because there is a time biblically that we should judge, and that's all the time. And we're going to see it's a different kind of judge than what Jesus talks about. We know that we lose a lot in the English language, because if I say I love my dog, I do really love my dog. But when I say I love my dog and my wife, you can tell just in its context that I love my wife differently than I love my dog, right? Or I love my kids and I love my wife. I love my wife differently than I love my kids. Now, they're both strong loves, aren't they? But they have different meanings and degrees of that love. And so the thing is, when we look at the word judge, Jesus is going to tell us, Matthew chapter 7, go on and get there. Some of you already have it memorized because you quote it on Facebook all the time, those people that are judging you. The thing is, look, Matthew chapter 7, you put your finger there, we're going to talk about what Jesus is saying and what He's not saying. And what's funny is we're going to see some passages of Scripture where Jesus says, judge not, lest you be judged. And then we're going to look at another passage where Paul says, judge everything. Judge all the time. Now, what I want you to understand, they're saying two different things. They're not contradicting each other. They're complementing each other. And we're going to see that Jesus teaches exactly what Paul teaches, and Paul teaches exactly what Jesus teaches. And we in America have really not a solid understanding of what either one of them are teaching. So what we're going to do today, everybody go like this. Remember in kindergarten when your teacher said, put your thinking cap on? Right? Put your thinking cap on. It's okay to think in church. I always preferred when my teacher did the little bow. I didn't like bows. I had a little snap button or Velcro on my thinking cap. So if you're a guy and the bow on your thinking cap intimidates you, you can do the plastic snap or the Velcro. All right? So everybody put it on. It's like a motorcycle helmet to you men. Right? It's a bonnet to ladies. Thinking bonnet. Ours is like a thinking helmet. So, chin strap. Your football guy. Buckle everything up. All right, here's the thing. But put it on because I want to show you something today. Matthew chapter 7. As we look at learning how to judge biblically, number one, I want to talk to you about Jesus and what He teaches on judging. So let's look at Jesus on judging. Matthew chapter 7. Some of you say, man, we've talked about this before. And we're revisiting this again. And probably in several years, we're going to revisit this again. Because I want you to understand that we have become weak in a lot of areas in the church. And here's the deal. I don't want to be guilty of that. I want to do what Jesus teaches. Everything that Jesus teaches, nothing more, nothing less. And here's the thing. Watch what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. Please do not take this out of context and try to say that this is talking about holding other believers accountable. How many of you understand when you claim Christ, you make a public profession of faith, what you're saying is, I am now living to a higher standard? How many of you understand that you're saying this? I know that I am now expected to live to a higher standard, because that's what you actually say when you come to follow Christ. So let's read this together, and we're going to talk about it. I promise you, I'm not going to leave you hanging. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. How many times have you seen that quoted? Okay, we're going to talk about it. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. He says this, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank, a log, in your eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye. He said, there has to be a removal of your plank. And then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He said, he's not saying there's not a time where you can show your brother there's a speck in their eye. Everybody catch that? He said, and then it's conditional based on have you been changed. And if you've been changed and your life is reflecting Christ, then the brother who is trying to walk with Christ, it's okay for you to point out the speck in their eye to help them out and hold them accountable. That's what Jesus just said. We're going to talk about how it applies in the church and how it doesn't apply in the world. He goes on and he says, Do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. I love that he threw that in there because it seems kind of out of place, but Jesus threw that in there so that people can't say this. Born-again believers who get upset when someone points out the fact that they're living in an openly sinful lifestyle, they get upset. Don't judge me. That's not judging you. Understand that. Jesus just identified groups here, didn't he? Did he not just put pigs in the group that pigs belonged into? Said, don't cast your valuable things to the pigs. He made a distinction. So don't think that if you make any kind of distinction between godliness and worldliness, because we know we live in a time where that's really hazy, isn't it? Did you know we as Christians are supposed to live a life that causes us to be distinctly different from the world? They ought to identify us as different, and we ought to identify them as different. We are no longer of them as born-again believers. So Jesus is saying this when he says, don't judge so that you won't be judged. I'm going to give you some Greek. I don't want to bore you. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. But listen, it's very important because he's going to use the word judge in English and Paul's going to use the word judge in English. And in the Greek, they have two different meanings. Jesus is using a word here called krino. Krino. And here's what krino means. Krino means this. It means to condemn from a self-righteous position. How many of you say, that's consistent to what the Spirit bears witness in me? I'm not right when I condemn out of my own self-righteousness. Understand, Jesus is talking to a bunch of religious people. He just called them hypocrites. They're self-righteous. He's telling them, don't condemn people based on your thoughts that you were better than them. Everybody understand that? So Jesus is teaching us some things here. Jesus taught that it's not our place to self-righteously condemn anyone. If you're here today and for whatever reason, maybe your mama told you were, maybe your Sunday school teacher told you were, that you're better than someone else. Let me say this. You are not better than anyone. We are all equally sinners, and we are all, those of us who've been born again, equally saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's two kinds of people in the world. Saved people and lost people. And it's only by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have become saved. So understand that. When we look at others, we're not to condemn them. Amen. Jesus taught it's not our place to self-righteously condemn others because the word krino is to condemn. So Jesus is saying to us in English so that we can understand it, don't condemn other people. Why? Why should we not condemn the world? Because the world is condemned already. Amen. It's not our place to point out their sin. It's not our place to be the Holy Spirit for them. How many of you understand the Holy Spirit? He has a very important job and he's capable of doing all aspects of his job. He does not need your help. So Jesus says, don't krino, don't condemn people. Those who condemn others, he said, they'll be condemned. What does this mean? Does this mean if you go around condemning people all the time, you're going to be condemned? Here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that. It means this. If you go around condemning people all the time, you're probably still condemned. Did you hear that? If you go around condemning people with a self-righteous attitude all the time, you're probably still condemned. Because a person who's been rescued by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ knows where they've come from, and they cannot look at someone and condemn them because they know this. Were it not for the cross of Jesus Christ, they deserve the same condemnation. A true born-again believer knows that in their heart, so they cannot condemn other people. So Jesus made it very clear. If you continue to condemn, you will receive the condemnation that you have due. So understand that. Jesus does, however, we're going to move to Paul's teaching in a second, leave room for Paul's teaching. Jesus teaches us at the end there about the swine, the pig. He says, but use discernment. Use discernment. How many of you understand, as Christians, we should discern between what is worldly, what is sinful, what is godly, what is holy. I know, unfortunately, we live in a time where all that is mixed together. It's hard to tell, isn't it? You know why it's hard to tell? Because the enemy has tricked us into thinking as believers that if we discern something, we're judging people. And we shouldn't judge because that's what Jesus said. Did everybody just see what I said? Jesus did not say that. Jesus said, don't self-righteously condemn people. But then in the next breath, Jesus says, but you better discern and do not give your pearls to the pigs. Everybody understand? And Paul's going to clear it up for us. Jesus' teaching on judging, he says, don't crino, don't condemn. Paul, on judging, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How many of you know Jesus said, don't judge, or you'll be judged? Everybody just read that with me? That's English. Watch this. That's why it's important that we get to the root of the meaning here. While we're pausing and you're turning, how many of you have been confused about this? You won't be after this, I promise. You'll leave here and you'll understand the difference. You'll understand what we're required to do and what we're actually commanded not to do. Paul on judging says this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Everybody there? You ready? Look at verse 1. Can we read 15 whole verses together in this one passage? We're going to. Watch this. He says this. I may have told you 1 Corinthians, and I may be wrong. Am I right? Okay. He said, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom. But, am I supposed to be in 2 Corinthians? Y'all help me out. I keep reading? All right, you're good. What verse was I on? Well, with demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Okay. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, pay attention to this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. I read all that so that we could get to this. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. How many of you would agree that the Spirit of God lives inside of believers? We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. He's saying, we walk in the Spirit reveals things to us that other people do not understand. Did everybody get that? The man without the Spirit does not accept the things of God that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Underline that word, spiritually discerned, or that phrase. Watch what he says in verse 15. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Now, I understand if we just, that's why we didn't just jump to that verse, read that, because you would say, immediately, that could contradict what Jesus said about judge not, lest ye be judged. Let me help you out. When Paul's referring to judgment here, it's a Greek word that is called anakrino. Everybody understand? You had krino, and krino meant what? Class, tell me. You put your thinking cap on. You remember krino means don't self-righteously what? Condemn. Here, Paul is teaching something that is exactly in line with what Jesus was talking about, discerning the pigs. Paul is saying use anakrino in all things. Anakrino means this, to make a spiritual judgment based on spiritual discernment. Everybody understand that? To make a spiritual judgment based on spiritual judgment. So Paul is saying this, always use discernment when judging people and or situations. Why? How many of you understand we are called to be separate from the world? Let me help you out. If something looks, acts, smells, talks worldly, there's a pretty good chance that that thing's worldly. Now watch this. If something looks, talks, walks, and smells worldly, and the Spirit inside of you, driven by the Holy Spirit who lives in you, says, wait a second, this is not right. Here's the deal. Do not feel bad about that, church. Don't feel bad because the Spirit highlights for you that there are people around you who are living in worldliness. Newsflash, we're living in their world. Here's the thing. When the Spirit shows you those things that you need to avoid based on His leadership, He's giving you discernment to protect you, to protect your testimony, to protect the testimony of Christ and the testimony of His church. Understand, how many of you would agree? Those things are very important. So understand, as we look at this, Paul's saying, always discern things. He's teaching us that discernment comes from the Holy Spirit. He said that the natural born man, he doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. It's only those of us who've been born again in Christ who understand the things of the Spirit when He reveals those things to us. How many of you used to could do things and it didn't bother you? You used to could tolerate some sinful lifestyles and it didn't bother you. And then what happens, the Holy Spirit shows you that those are things that you're no longer to tolerate in your life. In fact, you're to repent of those things. Understand this. We as born-again believers are called to live a life out of darkness. We are to live in the light as He is in the light. So understand, you can't feel bad about this. And this is what a lot of the people like to do nowadays. They like to make Christians feel bad because the Holy Spirit's discernment in them tells them that that is not an approved lifestyle. Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. We'll talk more on this in a second. Paul says always use anacrino. Jesus says never crino, never condemn. Paul says always use spiritual discernment. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the discernment that the Holy Spirit gives me. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is leading me when I don't even know He's leading me. And He's showing me things that I have no way that I could ever see on my own before these things transpire. He is there to show me and to lead me and to guide me through His discernment. And I'm thankful for that. Watch this. Pay attention. The Holy Spirit shows me certain people to avoid. But Pastor, how many of you understand that's wisdom from the Holy Spirit to keep you from falling into a trap? The Holy Spirit discerns for me. I promise, when I'm in touch with Him, the traps that the enemy is setting for me. In your spiritual life, Paul is saying, judge all things. You need to look at this situation. When you get that job opportunity, they're offering you a little bit more money, and you think, woo, because they're offering me a little bit more money, this must be the thing. But what's about to happen, and the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you this, you need to judge this situation because the person who's telling you that is a snake. The person who's telling you that is immoral. The person who's telling you that is worldly, and you cannot count on what they say. Now, you don't know this person from Adam, but he just allowed you to spiritually discern the situation. Here's the deal. Walk away from it. Walk away from it. I don't care if it's a business opportunity. Watch this. You guys who are young ministers, you've surrendered to ministry. If it's a ministry opportunity and the Holy Spirit allows you to spiritually discern a red flag, you turn around, you walk off. I know people who are not even in ministry nowadays because they didn't listen to the red flags. Because they didn't let the Holy Spirit discern from this is not a situation that you need to get into. Talked to one just this last week, a young man who surrendered to preach. When I was a pastor, he was a young man in high school. His first pastor. You know, sad. Here's what he said to me this week. Worst experience of my life. He said. Worst experience of my life. Here's what I believe about that situation. I believe had he allowed the Holy Spirit to show him what he was getting into, he could have handled it a whole lot differently. So I would ask that you pray for this young man. You don't need to know his name. Just pray for that young man that Kirk talked about. He's discouraged right now. He walked into a trap. He walked into a big nest of religious people who he realized in about 3 or 4 months that this was just a brood of vipers and that he was in trouble. Use discernment all the time. Anacrino. It's a God-given defense for you as a believer. Watch this. It's a God-given defense for those of us who are church leaders. Sometimes people misunderstand me. They think I'm mean. I tell people in our new memory class, if God does not want you here, I don't want you here. I mean it. I pray that everyone here, because this is the church of the living God, I pray that you're all born again people, because guess what? The outside world does not belong in here. Well, what are you saying, Pastor? Are you saying that lost people are not welcome here? Absolutely, positively not. A lost person ought to feel like they are the most unwelcome, uncomfortable person in this room at all time. We should be talking about spiritual things that they can't even understand until God gives them that enlightenment to understand it. I pray if you're one of those people here today, I pray He gives you that enlightenment, man, because this is a ride. I love it. Walk with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords only because He allowed me to. Watch this. Paul's not saying, Paul's saying, I don't want you to condemn people, but I do want you to make healthy spiritual judgments. Discern. Investigate. The word anakrino, we can also parallel the word investigate. Do your homework. Check the clues. I tell people, hey, look, if you're coming here church shopping, please go someplace else. I promise you, you're going to find all the things that you don't like if you look for them. Starting with me. But you pray about it and you let the Holy Spirit discern for you if this is where you belong. And if this is where you belong, then He'll empower you to do the work that He's preordained for you to do here. Paul says, always, always anakrino. Discern, investigate, do your homework. Doesn't matter if you're looking for the next job opportunity. Young people, listen to me. If you're looking for a spouse, oh, but he's so cute. There's something inside says he's a jerk. Watch this, he's a jerk! That something inside, young believer, is the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, he might be cute, but he's going to get ugly eventually, and he's still going to be a jerk. Guys, same thing. Young man, if the Spirit inside of you says she's worldly and self-absorbed, she is. Walk away from her while you still can. Listen, I don't say this to hurt. I say this to help. There are people who are married to people like this, and they're miserable. All because they... Well, I didn't want to judge him. Yeah, you were missionary dating. You thought you could somehow rescue him. It's not your job to rescue him. It's not your job to rescue her. It's your job to patiently walk with the Lord and discern the things that He allows you to discern through the Spirit. I promise you this. Young people, listen to me. Wait on that person. And when they walk into your life, I don't care if it's at a grocery store. When they walk in your life, you will know because the Spirit will discern for you. This is the one. And listen, I'm so sorry if he looks like me. Right? I feel sorry for my wife. But listen, I promise you this, I know that's my wife that God gave me and I'm her husband that he gave her. She got the bad end of the deal. I get it. But I can confidently know that. Why is that important? Because you know what? We've had problems. Yeah, everybody who goes, has never been married. But the thing is, you know what? The Spirit tells us, this is the woman that I gave you. You're going to work this out. This is the man that I gave you. You're going to ignore his stupidity. So Paul says, in every situation, use spiritual discernment. Use spiritual judgment. If you don't, you're going to fall into a trap. We've seen Jesus' teaching on judging. Crino, self-righteously contemned. We've seen Paul's teaching on judging and a crino, to discern and to investigate. Jesus said, don't condemn. Paul says, but always investigate. Always discern. Now, what should the church practice in regard to judging? Yo, watch this. What should we practice? This is going to mess some of you up. Okay? Did you know we're not held to the standard of the world? Anyone? Anyone still awake? Y'all are still going, Crino, Anacrino, which one do I do most? The thing is, listen, we're held to a different standard. For those of us in the church, to lower our standard to the world standard is to make a huge mistake. Listen, churches are doing it all over the world. We can't. We're called to a higher standard. Are we called to sinless perfection? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm telling you. But we are called to walk toward sinless perfection that is only found in Christ. So let's look at this. Paul is going to teach us 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You're in 1 Corinthians 2. Flip over a few chapters. He's going to teach us about something. Jesus was speaking from a self-righteous point of view. He said, don't self-righteously condemn others. Paul's going to teach us something here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Y'all still have your thinking caps on? Watch this. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. Let me help you out. Everybody ready? All sexual immorality is unacceptable from God or by God. Everybody understand that? None of it. So you know what that is. If you're a born-again believer, the Spirit inside you tells you what is immoral. He's talking about sexual immorality. Some of your Bibles say fornication. The Greek Bible says porneia, where you get the word pornography from. So it's bad any way you look at it. Everybody understand? Watch what he says. It's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. Now, understand this. He's talking to who? The church. And he's saying there's some sexual immorality among you, and it's sexual immorality that's not even been reported among the ungodly. A man has his father's wife. Creepy. But things happen, don't they? And you are proud. You've accepted it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, this man has his stepmother and you're okay with it. You know, that's the problem. Did you know all of us in this room could fall into sin? But we as a church and we as Christian individuals who make up the church should never, ever, ever embrace sin. The exclamation point here, you are proud of it. He's saying, you're okay with it. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? He said, shouldn't you have gotten rid of the guy who's doing this and grieved in your heart? What do you mean grieved in your heart? Number one, grieved that the sin occurred, but grieved that this person is involved in sin. Why? Because I'm going to show you something. He's a fellow Christian. That's what you don't understand yet, but you will in a second. This is a Christian who has fallen off into sin. Watch what's going to happen here as we read this. Paul is telling us this, and this we know if this happened in church today, people would all freak out and choose a side. Well, he's my cousin, so I'm going to side with him. Or he's my best friend since high school, I'm going to side. Listen, folks, in matters of the church, listen to me, always side with the Word of God and the commands of God and the truth. Then we won't fight in business meetings. He goes on, he says, even though I am not physically present, he says, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment. Uh-oh. Wait, here goes Paul again. You know what's crazy? This word judgment, krino. Jesus said, don't krino. And Paul's krinoing. Jesus was saying, don't krino the world from your self-righteous attitude, but he said, there better be some things inside the church you condemn. Hello? There better be some things inside the church that you condemn. Because inside the church, we're called to a higher standard. Paul said, I've already made my judgment. I've already passed the fact that this act is condemned already. Paul says, I already know what I think about it. I know what I feel about it, and it's wrong. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't apologize, Christian, when you call wrong, wrong, and right, right. There is not enough of that going on these days. Paul is teaching the church. He's saying this. Listen. You have to hold each other accountable. He said, I've already made my judgment. Watch what he said. The same as if I would have been standing right there with you. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus and I am with you in spirit, I can't make it. But I'll be there with you in spirit and in the power of the Lord Jesus. He says this, hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. What was he saying? He's saying, this is a born-again believer who is choosing to live a carnal lifestyle. He said, put him out of fellowship. And see if sin and the enemy do not destroy him. Let me tell you something, folks. This is harsh words that we don't hear talked about in church today. What we do is when we hear of this, we're afraid to approach the situation. Let me tell you something, folks. We're mandated by Scripture as leaders of this church and as born-again believers. When we see a brother fall in sin, a sister fall in sin, rescue them And here's the thing. You gotta identify the sin to rescue them.
But I feel like I'm judging them.
No, you're not. Because that do not judge command is considered as we look at the outside world from a self-righteous point of view. Watch what the scripture continues to teach us. What verse were we on? Anybody remember? 6. Somebody's paying attention? Somebody said 5? 5 or 6? He says, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Huh. You know what he said? He said, you accept this, you're going to accept everything. Isn't that where we are in the church age right now? Come on, people. Did you know? Watch this. There are homosexual churches in America. You talk about ignoring a lifestyle of sin. Listen, get all crazy and say that I'm judging. He just said, there should be not even a hint of sexual immorality among you. Understand this. Folks, whatever you want to believe, I promise you the Word of God is still true and homosexuality is still a sin. And inside of this church, we're always going to refer to it as such, as we will adultery, as we will premarital sex, as we will sex with animals, as we will pornography. We will refer to all of those things as sinful. Why? Because you need to know what's sinful. That's why Paul's writing this to the church. Why? So that you don't fall into the same condemnation of this man who was sleeping with a stepmother. Wow, are we really talking about this in church? Isn't that the problem? We don't talk about this stuff in church. We act as if it doesn't exist. How many of you have been reading along with me? Is all this stuff in the Bible? I'm dumb enough to think it's all applicable. Here's what the church ought to practice. Paul, let's read the rest of this. Where were we at? Verse 6. He said, 7. Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. He's saying, look, Jesus Christ gave us this picture at Passover. Did you know at Passover there was no yeast in the bread? So he's saying this, we don't have room for yeast in the body. Everybody understand? That goes for you individuals who are actively entertaining sin in your life today. Listen. Before it gets to this point, get on your face and repent. That's where revival comes to the church, when Christians repent of the things in their life that they've just ignored all these years. I have written you in my letter not to associate, watch this, with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world. Why did he say that? The people of the world don't know any better, do they? You got to go to work with those guys. He's talking about in the church. He says, who are immoral? I mean, he says, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy or swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. It's making sense here. You couldn't even live in the world. But now I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone. Pay attention to this, please. Who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral. Now, here's what it doesn't say, who calls himself a brother, and we can put sister in there, who has ever participated in anything immoral. He's talking about actively participating in this. Everybody understand? Because a Christian, we ought to approach that brother, and if he's a true born-again Christian, I promise you, repentance will follow. He says, don't associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral. Watch this, he doesn't leave it there, because that's the one we like to harp on. Watch this. Greedy. An idolater. Slanderer. Facebook. Stop slandering people on Facebook. I've hinted around enough. Stop. You make yourself as a believer look bad. You make this church look bad. You drag Jesus Christ's name through the mud. Stop it. If you have a problem, listen, if you have a problem with them, God gives us instructions. Go to that person. Go to them and say, hey, brother to brother, sister to sister, man to man, woman to woman, we got an issue. Let's work this thing out. You say, well, you seem like you're condemning all these. I am. It's my job. Get it? He told me in this situation I have the right. I can. We as believers can hold each other accountable. You see someone in sin, listen, bring it to their attention. They may be totally blinded to it. You could rescue them. Understand that, please. They're depending on you to do it. What's he all mad about? I'm not mad. I'm just passionate about it, I assure you. I long for the day where we see holiness important in the house of God. Holiness important among God's people. Let's read on. Watch what he says. He said, don't associate with people who call themselves brothers, but they're sexually immoral or greedy, idolaters, or slanders, or drunkards. Drunkards, when you post your party on Facebook, you look like a drunkard, just saying. Or a swindler. That's for all the people who are car salesmen who say they're believers. Watch this. With such a man, this is God's word, right, still? With such a man, don't even eat with him. Don't invite him in your house. Don't sit down and partake a meal with him or her. They claim to be a brother or a sister in Christ and they live contrary to it. He says, don't have anything to do with him. Wow. And he said, I don't expect you to act like this toward the world. Why? Because Jesus said, don't condemn the world. What are we to do to the world? Show them mercy, love, grace, forgiveness. The gospel. They're just ignorant. They don't know. But we in the church, shouldn't we know? You know why the church doesn't know? I'll tell you why the church doesn't know. Because there's people in pulpits who don't have backbones all over the world. And they'll take a text like this and they'll dance all around this stuff. Well, folks, I ain't going to dance around it. It's what it says. It says it to me. It says it to you. It says it to the body of Christ. So in the church, what should we practice? Always lead professing believers toward holiness. It's accountability. Always lead them to holiness. How do we lead them to holiness? We define for them what sin is. Right? I'm not up here like some would claim, preaching that hellfire, damnation stuff. Hey, nobody here, if you're a born-again believer, is in danger of hellfire. You're not. But you are in danger of hurting your testimony. You are in danger of hurting the testimony of Christ. You are in danger of being a blemish in His church. And so here's the deal. We cannot, as a church, tolerate lifestyles of sin, period, the end. Well, Pastor, what would you do if there was a couple in your church who was homosexual and they wanted to get married? Go someplace else. Go someplace else. Well, what if they come and they shut your bit? What if they do? What if they take your license from me? They didn't give it to me. I get these questions all the time. I will ask those two people, do you know this? Watch this. I don't marry couples who are not both born-again believers. Because they're unequally yoked. So if I did marry them, now listen, that's only on their claim. I'll ask them, first question I ask them, are y'all both born again? If they go, born, huh? Well, I know. Listen, you laugh. I've had to tell people I just can't do your wedding. Just can't do it. Well, who do you think you are? Well, I think I am a man of God who's called to the standard to say I can't tell you not to be unequally yoked and then unequally yoke you. And it would get crazy if we would actually apply this stuff, wouldn't it? What should we do? I know y'all are in a hurry. Always lead professing believers toward holiness. Always. Accountability. It's a forgotten thing in the church. Can I say this? If you see me do something that's hurting the testimony of Christ out in this community, please say something to me. Please say something to me. Please say, Kirk, I saw the way you handled the situation. Man, I want to bring it to your attention because as for me, it bothered me. I promise you, here's Kirk's attitude. Man, I'm sorry. Number one, I'm sorry to God that I let whatever happen, but I'm sorry to you that I offended you with that. That's how a brother and a sister, that's how they handle things. Don't get upset about it. It means they care about you. Listen, don't broadcast it on Facebook for everyone else. Go to that person. Amen? Or InstaChat, Snapgram, or whatever that stuff is. Never condemn the lost. Never. That's what this passage has told us. Always hold those of us inside the church accountable, but never condemn the lost. They're already condemned. They don't know any better. We're to show them the love of Christ. We're to show them forgiveness. We're to show them mercy over and over and over and over again until they come to the point of being Christians, and then we're to teach them right from wrong. Everybody understand? When a lost person comes in the first time, a lost lady comes in, she's in a skimpy dress, it's not your job to teach her about righteousness yet. Everybody understand? I used to listen to it in Baptist church, again, but it's causing me to lust. Well, don't look at her. It's causing you to lust if she's the problem. Here's the thing. Let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. And when she's a professing believer, then some other ladies who are professing believers can pull her aside and say, you know, we want to teach you about some things. We want to teach you a little bit about modesty. We want to teach you a little bit about covering all that up when you come to church, okay? All right. But where the church is messed up, I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And I'm going to let you go, I promise. Let me finish this on what should the church do. We've seen never condemn the lost world. Show them mercy and grace. Always encourage professing believers to acknowledge and repent of sin in their life. Always. That's why every service, people say, y'all would be amazed. People go, man, we ain't been in church in a long time, had an altar call. You haven't been to a church, and I don't get to go to a lot of churches. You haven't been to a church in a long time that doesn't encourage people to examine their life and to repent of sin in their life weekly. That is messed up. It's messed up. Did you know that's why we're all here together? We're all here together to encourage each other in our walk with Christ to become more like Him as we follow the Holy Spirit in our lives.
But I don't like going down that church because they judge me.
Come on. They judge you or the Holy Spirit convicts you. Don't call it something that it's not. I promise you right now, some of you might already be mad at me. I hope not. But let me say this. I am saying everything that I'm saying from a loving heart. I assure you 100%, just as Jesus did, just as Paul did. I'm saying these things so that you do not miss out on the intimate fellowship and holiness of a loving God that you have access to through Jesus Christ. Don't miss out on that. That's why we do talk about sin, even though most of the popular churches nowadays don't mention it. Right? What are people getting saved from if they're not getting saved from sin? The boogeyman? I mean, I really don't understand. Churches don't even talk about sin, but say, well, now if you want to pray this prayer and make Jesus Lord of your life, you don't make Jesus anything. He is who He is. When you repent of your sin and you bow down before Him as Lord and Savior, He saves you. I promise you that, but you don't make Him do it. You definitely, I promise you, don't tell Him to do it. To understand. When we look at the scripture, how many still believe in this? Anybody still believe in this? I wish I found a group of people that would believe in this. So he says, here's what the church ought to practice. Always encourage professing believers to acknowledge and repent of active sin in their lives. That's conviction. That's repentance. It ought to happen. Any of you perfect yet? Any of you being made perfect? I'm perfect in my standing, but I'm being made perfect in my state, I promise you. As I walk with Him, He's perfecting me. He's knocking all those rough edges off of me that look like hurt, and He's smoothing them out so that they look like Christ. Never embrace a professing Christian who is living in a sinful lifestyle. Never. Never. The church cannot call themselves a church and tolerate internal sin. Are you listening to me? I've had people get mad at me. I've had to go to them. I've had to say, look, not being ugly when I tell you this, but you could be hurting your testimony to others by some of the things that are coming out of your mouth or out of your life. I just want to encourage you to really spend some time with the Holy Spirit. Pray about this. I feel this. I feel that it's wrong. I feel that it's something that's going to be a blemish on your testimony. How many of you understand our testimony ought to be the most important thing to us? Is our testimony that we have is a testimony that came to us from Jesus Christ. It is a gift. It's Him being reflected to this lost and dying world. It should be valuable to us. So never embrace a professing Christian, according to what Paul just said, who's actively living a lifestyle of sin. He said don't even eat with them. Don't associate with them. The moment that you find out, stay away from them. Why? That's the question we ought to ask here. Why? As a born-again believer, the most dreadful thing in all of my life, other than to be lost again. Because being lost means I would be out of fellowship with God, and that's impossible. He rescued me by His blood. Is to be out of fellowship with you folks. Now listen to me. Understand, when they're removed from fellowship or they're isolated from fellowship, that ought to grieve them. I promise you, I've missed very few Sundays just to go on vacation, and I'm telling you, it grieves me not to be with you guys. Because you're my family in Christ, and I love each and every one of you in your own particular way, but I love each and every one of you. And the fact is, to be an outcast from you would literally kill me from the inside out. So what is he saying? He's saying a true brother, when he feels like an outcast from the family that God purchased him to have, it's going to drive him to repentance, I guarantee, or her. So understand, Paul's not being mean here. He's saying there comes a time in a believer's life with another professing believer, you have to show them, I do not and I cannot approve of your lifestyle. Watch this, even if that person is a member of your own household. But it hurts! Yeah, it hurts. But hopefully it hurts them. And they see the error of their way and they return to God in repentance and confession. Amen. That's what the church ought to practice. Here's the error that they make. Man, y'all are listening long today. This is a lot. I'm sorry. A little. The common error in the modern church, here's where we mess up. We crino those outside of the church. We condemn them. Unfortunately, some of you here today, you're here today and you have a bitter taste in your mouth. Let me apologize for all the generations of church members that have gone by. Let me apologize for you. You're here today and you're a born-again believer, but it was hard for you to even get to that point because you felt condemned by the church because you made mistakes. And here's the thing. Guess what? We all have. I want to apologize for the church worldwide for generations because they treated you like that. Now, if you're born again here today, I will not apologize in telling you what the Word of God says. And every time we meet here, we're going to talk about it again. What the Word of God says is holy and what the Word of God says is sinful. But here's the thing. I apologize for the condemnation that you felt from church people. I don't know them, I'm sure. But the condemnation that you felt from church people when you were outside the church because you did not deserve that. And those people just had a lack of understanding. And so if you would, please accept an apology from me for them. Will that work? And if you're here today, listen, let me tell you something. You're here today and that's kept you from serving the Lord. Get on your face today and say, Lord, I forgive them. And I need your Spirit to empower me to serve you and get over my bitterness from the past. Maybe you're here today. You're not a believer. You say, I do feel uncomfortable. I wish I felt more comfortable here. Let me help you. You'll never feel comfortable here until you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Because we have forgotten that the church was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It belongs to Him. And everyone who is not in Him is an outsider. We don't mean to, nor do we intend on making you feel like that, but what we will not do, we will not err as many churches are erring and make this place worldly so you can come in and feel comfortable on your way to hell. I say this to you, as an unborn again person, as a non-believer in Christ, you ought to feel very uncomfortable here. Let me also extend this to you. That can change in a moment when God calls you out of your life of sin into forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus Christ. How many remember that day? When you came in uncomfortable and you left family. And you came back the next week and you had a brand new family. And you had people who loved you and you never felt so loved in all your life. Now just the week before that, you felt like nobody liked you and you weren't welcome. What changed? You became part of the body. Therefore you fit. Common error that the church makes, though, they condemn those that are outside. Listen, Christian, listen to me. It's not your job. It is not your job to condemn ignorant people. When I say ignorant, I don't mean that mean. They're uneducated. They're unlearned. They don't know the things of the Spirit have not been revealed to them. When those things have been revealed, then we hold each other accountable. But until then, there is no accountability for them. They are free to just indulge in their sin. Everybody understand that? Don't look down on them for it. Remember, that's where you used to be before Christ saved you. The next error that we make, we make people who are involved in sinful lifestyles feel accepted at church. Anybody still listening? If I gone just way too long, covered way too much, your thinking cap already busted off. If you were involved in a sinful lifestyle here today as a believer, please understand. I cannot, the elders of this church cannot, any man, woman, child in here who's born again seeking the Spirit and His discernment, we cannot accept your sinful lifestyle as a believer. Today is the day to repent of that, to get right with God right here, right now, confessing that, and He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I promise you, at that moment in time, you have a clean slate and everything's good. We can't embrace sinful lifestyle. Here's what we can do. We can't act like they don't exist, can we? Hasn't the church done that long enough? Well, brother pastor, I just believe in love and flowers and all those. You better believe in church discipline because we just read about it. The church makes an error because they ignore those who are wrapped up in a sinful lifestyle instead of rescuing them. How many of you know the wage of sin is death? If your child was about to pick up a rattlesnake, would you stop him? Hello? If your child was about to play with a rattlesnake, would you go, oh, it's just a little rattlesnake? No, you know this about rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes with little kids can bring forth death. Right? It's the same thing, that the principle that Paul's teaching here. Why would we let another brother play with a rattlesnake? Why would we let a professing Christian play with death? The wages of sin is what? Y'all say it with me, class. Why would we let them pick up a rattlesnake?
Well, we do it because Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged.
He wasn't talking about that. He wasn't talking about that at all. He was talking about you condemning the lost world from your self-righteous standpoint. Avoid that. But in the church, you see a brother or sister picking up a rattlesnake, please scream rattlesnake at the top of your lungs. What if they hate me for it? Leave the church. Then you got your answer, didn't you? Here's the thing. What if they love you for it? What if they appreciate you for it? What if you become someone who disciples them to the next point in their walk because you weren't afraid to do what God's Word says for us to do, teaches us to participate in? They neglect to call Christians to a higher standard. The next common error in the modern church. Can I say this to you, church? I can. Because I've been given the authority to say that. We're called to a higher standard. Let me tell you this. I fail, you fail, we all fail. I get it. But when we fail as believers, our calling doesn't change, does it? Get back up and strive for that higher standard. Get back up and say, no more is this thing going to trip me up. I've already been tripped up to this thing. I'm going to press on to the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to focus on Him. I'm going to get back up and I'm going to carry on. But we don't in the church encourage Christians to strive to that higher standard. Not to think you're better than anyone else. Absolutely, positively not. That goes against everything that Jesus taught. To say that I am now different than I used to be in every single element of my life. Because isn't that what we are as born again believers? Different? Shouldn't it be in every single element of our life? Maybe. Positively. And then the last thing, the error that the church makes. They fill their pulpits with men who won't stand on the Word of God. Who are afraid to say the hard things. Because let me tell you something, all week long, I knew I was going to have to say some hard things. And you know what? I know this. Sometimes when you say the hard things, people leave. I've learned a little phrase. It goes like this. Bye. It grieves me in my heart. It grieves me in my heart that because we look at the Word of God and we look at it in black and white and we say, here's what it says, and then you say, well, I don't like that guy. I don't like this place. I'm leaving. And you go find something that's going to suit you and make you comfortable in your sinful lifestyle. I can't say anything other than bye. Because here's the thing, if you're a professing believer and you want to continue to live in this lifestyle, the Word of God just told me I can't even sit down and have a meal with you. Much less get to know your family, get close to you, allow my family to participate with your family in activity. So if you say, man, I can't stand under this stuff, you gotta go. And I understand. And then guess what? I see you at Walmart or Target or wherever, not in the other bathroom at Target, but the regular bathroom. If I see you, I'll say hi. And I love you from a distance. And you know what? I pray every time I see you, I pray that you repent and come home. If this is really home. But if it's really home, you probably won't leave. But there, the church makes what they do is men who stand in the pulpit and they take the word of God and they just say, thus saith the Lord. We get rid of those guys. Let me tell you something. One day there's going to be a lot of people answer for that. They're getting rid of the messengers who were sent to boldly proclaim the word of truth, boldly proclaim the holiness of God, and boldly call men and women to repentance. So I don't know where you are in all this. I hope you learned something. Anybody learned something today? I'll recap so if you missed it. As church members, listen. Those of you who are here, born-again believers, never condemn the world. Number two, always use the Holy Spirit's discernment in your life. Don't apologize for it. Number three, always live a life that's separate from this presently condemned world. That's what you once were. That's where you used to live. Be separate. And lastly, never, ever, ever embrace immorality in God's church or among God's people for any reason at any time. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here today and you say, Kurt, I'm that uncomfortable person this morning. Let me say this to you, Mr. and Mrs. Uncomfortable Person. I was that uncomfortable person too at one point in time. I sat in the church service and I heard about sin and I heard about filth and I heard about wretchedness and I knew that it described me to a T. Then in the middle of that church service, I felt the Holy Spirit drawing me out of my sin and out of my wickedness and offering me cleansing through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ as I confessed Him as my Lord and Savior for the very first time. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm that person and I need Jesus to save me today. I know that I am a wretched sinner and I need Jesus to cover me in His blood to wash me from all of my sin. And I want to cry out to Him today as my Lord and Savior. I believe the Holy Spirit's telling me in my heart right now that's what I need to do before I leave this place today. I've put it off long enough. You're here and you say, that's me. I need Jesus to save me. Would you raise your hand right now? I want to pray with you and pray for you. I need Jesus to save me from my sin. I want to come to this place and I want to feel what all these other people are feeling, that fellowship and that intimacy with God and with God's people. I want to experience God personally in my life. Let me tell you, you can't until you come to faith in Jesus Christ. When you do, everything's going to change. You're going to have access to the throne room of God. You're going to have fellowship with your Creator for the very first time because His Son was willing to die on a cross. Rescue you from your sin. You say, I need Jesus to rescue me today. Would you slip it up high where I can pray with you, pray for you? You say, that's me. I need Jesus to save me. Listen, I'll beg no one. But if He's calling you out of darkness and into light, respond to Him this morning by surrendering to Him His will for your life. You're here and you say, Kurt, I'm that church member who sometimes condemns others who are outside of the church. Maybe it's what they say, maybe it's what they wear, maybe it's how they talk, maybe it's the activities that they participate in. And I realize today for the very first time, they just don't know any better. I need God to change my heart, so I'll pray for them. So I'll show them love and mercy and forgiveness. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? I want to pray with you, pray for you. That's all I want to say. That's me. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty about the fact that we're all prone to self-righteousness if we allow ourselves. But I ask that you would repent of that sin of self-righteousness today and say, God, help me to never forget where I fall. Maybe you're here today. You're a church member, born again, 100%. God has shown you today that there's something in your life that is unacceptable. Listen, you don't have to come to me and confess that sin. You can go directly to Him. He says that He is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness when you confess that thing. I just want to encourage you to do that today. The altars are open. God desires for you to leave here today feeling His cleansing, feeling the intimacy that He paid for you by His own Son's blood for you to have this very day. Don't leave here still wrapped up in your sin. leave here healed, complete, and whole in Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to move and to have His way in your life. Listen, it's not about whether I see you or not. You raised your hand. You said, I need Jesus to save me this morning. There are people right down front. What I encourage you to do, while everyone has their heads bowed and their eyes closed, I encourage you to get out of your seat and walk down front and grab one of these ladies, one of these men down front. Say that I'm willing to surrender my life to Jesus Christ today, and I believe He's calling me out of my sin to accept Him as my personal Lord and Savior.
That is within.